This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. This month marks 1 year since the Supreme Court decision in the landmark case Obergefell v. Hodges. In a 5-4 decision, the High Court ruled the right to marry is guaranteed to same-sex couples under the 14th Amendment. The lead plaintiff in the case, Cincinnatian Jim Obergefell, and Washington Post investigative reporter Debbie Senzipper, have just released a book about the struggle to make same-sex marriage legal. The book's title is Love Wins, the lovers and lawyers who fought the landmark case for marriage equality. It just went on sale yesterday, and Jim and Debbie join us to discuss the story of the long road leading up to the Supreme Court decision. We won't be able to take your phone calls during this segment, but you can still join us by emailing talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jim and Debbie, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Jim, how surprised were you that you became the central figure and the lead plaintiff in this case?
Well, surprised because with the Supreme Court, you know, everyone thinks there is some type of magical process or some type of really complicated thing that determines who the named plaintiff is, but it truly comes down to timing. And when they have a consolidated case, the named plaintiff, they base that on the lowest case number. So that's how I became the named plaintiff.
So it did turn out to be a big surprise. How many other plaintiffs were involved in this case?
There were more than 30 of us from the four states.
Debbie, put this case in perspective for me. How significant was this in the history of Supreme Court decisions?
Well, I think it was clearly the biggest civil rights decision in years. I mean, really, you know, scholars are comparing it to Roe v. Wade and Brown versus Board of Education, which led to desegregated schools nationwide. I mean, it was certainly the biggest decision in the history of gay rights. But it came on the heels of course, other very significant decisions for the gay community. A couple of years prior, there was the Windsor decision, which required the federal government to open up benefits to same-sex couples who were married. And so there were a bunch of incremental decisions that eventually led to this big one.
Jim, John Arthur, your husband, and I am sorry about his death. Tell me about him. I'd like to know how the two of you met. What kind of person was John?
Well, we met through a mutual friend. One of my friends from university was one of John's friends and fraternity brothers at the University of Cincinnati. That's where we all attended. And even though we were there at the same time, we never met each other during those years. But after we all graduated, happened to be out with Kevin one day at Uncle Woody's right by campus and met John. And it was just one of those moments of, hi, this one group of friends meeting another group of friends. Nothing happened. A couple months later, back at Uncle Woody's, ran into John a second time. Nothing happened. And then, as we say, it was love at third sight for us because at the holidays that year, Kevin was now one of John's roommates or housemates, and John threw a New Year's Eve party, and I went to that party, and I never left. And John was just one of the most charming, witty, well-spoken, generous people I've ever known. He just had this beautiful way of connecting with people and building relationships and making the people he met feel worthwhile. He was just when it comes to that, he was a master.
Now, he was diagnosed with ALS, which is a fatal neurological disease. What was that, 2011, Jim?
He was diagnosed. Well, we first started noticing symptoms in early 2011, and the final third concurring diagnosis was in June of 2011.
How did the two of you deal with that? That's such a major blow in life.
It was a terrible blow. You know, when you love someone and you've built a life together, the last thing you expect, the last thing you want is for that person you love to get a death sentence. And that's what it was. But I have to say, John had this way of rolling with the punches and of always looking at life as a glass half full. And his neurologist said over and over, I wish more of my parents reacted the way that you do. Because after, you know, that initial blow, that initial period of disbelief and mourning, John realized, you know, all we can do is attack this and make the best of it. So from that moment on, he was thinking ahead. What can we do to make life easier on me, on you, Jim, and make sure that we're as prepared and that you're as prepared as possible for when the end comes? So he didn't run from it. He accepted it in some ways and tried to make the best of it. It was amazing.
And the doctor recognized that Psalm is a good patient and a resilient person.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, while he was suffering from ALS, the two of you actually flew to Maryland, and you were married on the airport tarmac. So what was that day like for you?
Well, it was the happiest day of my life because we could finally say I do and make our promises and commitments public and legal. And it was also a difficult day in that we had to jump through so many hoops that millions of people across the state of Ohio and across the country never even consider. And the fact that they took for granted the ability to walk to their courthouse and get a marriage license when we couldn't, when other people like us couldn't, it was maddening. But because we could fly to Maryland, we could make our promises public and legal, we were willing to jump through those hoops, even though it put John in great pain and it was very difficult on him and on us. It was worth it because we had the ability to finally say, I thee wed.
And you were talking about the hoops that you have to jump through. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you and John were native Ohioans, right?
I'm born and raised in Ohio. John's parents are both from northern Kentucky, the greater Cincinnati area, and he was born in Chicago. Then they moved back to Cincinnati when he was seven.
But you're Ohioans, and I have to wonder how much did it bother both of you that because of the same-sex marriage ban that was in place at the time, you couldn't get your marriage recognized. And I think that the issue that started this whole thing going was because of the ban, he couldn't be listed as your husband on his death certificate after he died from ALS.
Correct. Now, when we got married, we knew Ohio wasn't going to recognize our marriage. But honestly, that's an abstract thing. And it's until someone actually points out something specific that it became real. And we started to understand in the nitty-gritty details and some of those really important things what that meant. And that moment happened when we were introduced to L. Gerhard Stein, our attorney, and he came over. And in our very first meeting, he pulled out a blank Ohio death certificate. And he said, now, guys, I'm certain you haven't thought about this because who thinks about a death certificate when you've just gotten married? But do you really get it? Do you understand that when John dies, his last official record as a person will be wrong? He'll be listed as single, and Jim, your name won't be there as his surviving spouse. That was the moment, what that state constitutional amendment meant and what it could do to us, what it could make us feel like, what harm it could create. That's when it became real. That's when we understood.
Yeah, that sounds like that's when it hit home for you. How did you come to have L. Gerhard Stein as your attorney?
Well, that happened really out of the blue. When we decided to get married, that was all we wanted to do. We simply wanted to get married and live out John's remaining days as husband and husband. We had no plans for a lawsuit. We had no plans for anything other than let's spend your last bit of time together as husband and husband. We got married on a Thursday, and that weekend, there was a story about us in the Cincinnati Inquirer in the print edition on Sunday, but it came out online on Saturday. And friends of ours were at a party, and they ran into their friend, civil rights attorney Al Gerhard Stein, and our story came up in conversation. And Al had already been thinking about the Windsor decision and how to use the Windsor decision to attack the Ohio State Amendment. And as he listened to our story, he just asked them, do you think John and Jim would be willing to talk to me? So they got in touch. John and I talked about it, and we said, sure, why not? What's the harm? So we got married on Thursday. We met Al on Tuesday, so 5 days later. On Friday, 8 days after we got married, we filed suit in federal district court. And on Monday, 11 days after we got married, I was in court for the first hearing, and federal judge Timothy Black ruled in our favor that same day.
Debbie, what do you think made Al the right attorney for the job?
Well, Al's been a civil rights attorney for more than 30 years. I mean, he's a really compelling character in our book. He grew up on a chicken farm outside of Cleveland, went to NYU Law School on a full scholarship, could have gone on to do anything, wanted to return to Ohio to defend people who lacked power, you know, disenfranchised people, and had been doing it for years and years. In fact, one of his first gay rights case, he defended his younger brother's partner who was fired from a teaching job in a Catholic high school for being gay. And he took on cases, you know, year after year after year. And in Cincinnati, he took on one of the biggest cases of his career, which was after voters decided to ban all laws that would protect the gay community from discrimination back in the early 1990s, Al took on that law and fought it for the better part of 5 years, taking it all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court before eventually losing that case. So Al, in some ways, was perfectly positioned to take on John and Jim's case. And in fact, it was his, you know, he took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and this time he won.
We will continue our conversation after this, and you can join us by emailing talk@wvxu.org or by finding us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guests this afternoon, Jim Obergefell and Washington Post investigative reporter Debbie Senzipper. They've just released a book about the struggle to make same-sex marriage legal. Love Wins, the lovers and lawyers who fought the landmark case for marriage equality. And you can join us today. We can't take phone calls during this segment. You can still join us, though, by emailing talk@wvxu.org or by finding us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Debbie and Jim, why did you decide to release this book? I mean, did you contact Jim, or was it the other way around?
So I've been an investigative reporter for 20 some years at most recently at the Washington Post. And I'd always wanted to write a book, but never really found a subject that moved me, like this one did. And like millions of people, I read about John and Jim's case, actually in my own newspaper in the Washington Post. And I knew Jim through some family connections, called Jim and asked if he would let me tell this story. And I'm absolutely thrilled that he agreed. And so even before the Supreme Court decided this case in June of last year, I took a leave of absence from the Washington Post to start writing this book. And early on, you know, Jim and I knew that this would be a book not just about John and Jim and their beautiful love story, but about Al Gerhardstein, the other lawyers in the case, and the other plaintiffs in the case from Ohio and three other states. We really wanted to tell the full story about the people who brought this case to the Supreme Court in record time and won. And we also knew we wanted Cincinnati and the city and its history to be front and center in this book. So we consider Cincinnati a very compelling character in this book. I mean, the history is so rich and so fascinating. And the way Cincinnati has dealt with gay rights over the years and is now so incredibly supportive of gay rights, we really wanted to highlight that in this book.
That's an interesting point, Debbie, and I'd be interested on both your perspectives on this. The shift in attitudes about gay rights, about same-sex marriage, how much of a shift have you seen in recent years?
Oh, from my perspective, it has been dramatic. You know, John and I never dreamt that we would be able to marry and have that marriage recognized by any level of government. And the fact that we were able to before he died, I mean, that still is stunning to me. And the fact that that helped move our country towards nationwide marriage equality is even more astounding. But for me, I look at the reaction that I've experienced just in the 2 years, almost 2 years since we started our case. You know, many people, they've asked me, people across the country expect that I have received nothing but hate mail, terrible hate mail and pushback and all kinds of vile things directed towards me. And it surprises them when I say, well, in the 2 years, I've received 4 pieces of mail that have been less than supportive. That's it, 4. And to me, that illustrates that attitudes have changed. Support has grown for the LGBTQ community in general, and it especially grew in support for marriage equality. So it has changed dramatically. And I also take it back to Cincinnati. As Debbie said, Cincinnati is a character in our book. John and I lived through issue 3. We lived through that dark time. You know, Cincinnati, the city without pity, the most gay-unfriendly city in the country. We lived through that, but we surrounded ourselves with family and friends who loved us, cared for us, respected us, and treated us as equal. And it's been such a delight for me to see our city change and to see it grow and to see it progress. It is an entirely different city today than it was in the mid-90s. And that makes me happy.
The book actually tracks back the history of Cincinnati back to issue 3 and actually tells that story through the eyes of the people who lived through it, including the lawyers who were involved and the people who pushed issue 3. And it tracks it all the way back and then to present day, where rainbow flags are hanging from city buildings. In fact, there's one of my favorite scenes in this book, and Jim lived through it, is when the case was first presented in district court before a federal judge, Tim Black, who was also a character in this book, and the city of Cincinnati's attorney stood up and said, you know, they wanted nothing to do with this lawsuit, that they supported marriage recognition. And it really, I think, shows how far Cincinnati has come as a city along these lines.
Jim, what was it like when the Supreme Court handed down its decision? You were outside. What happened?
I was in the courtroom. I was not outside.
Okay, in the courtroom.
Yeah,
thank you for setting me straight there.
Yeah. Nope, absolutely. I mean, it was an honor for me to be in there, and I feel very fortunate. And I was in there with Al and with some of the other plaintiffs and other attorneys. And I have to tell you, in that one moment when Justice Kennedy read his decision and it sank in that we won, in that one moment, I think back over my adult life since the time I made the decision to embrace who I am and to live openly. That was the first time in my life that I felt like an equal American. And I know we still aren't fully equal, but that was a beautiful moment of joy and feeling more a part of our country. I mean, I burst into tears, as did so many other people around that courtroom. And the joy, the excitement in the air was electric and palpable.
Well, Jim and Debbie, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Jim Obergefell and Washington Post investigative reporter Debbie Senzipper. Their new book is Love Wins, The Lovers and Lawyers Who Fought the Landmark Case for Marriage Equality. Jim and Debbie are going to be at the main branch of the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County on Saturday, June 18th at 6 o'clock in the evening to discuss their book. The event is sponsored by Joseph Beth Booksellers, and you can find a link to more information at wvxu.org.